Hi, does anyone want to share any secrets?
I do.
Go ahead, give me a secret.
Could start over.
Yeah. No, keep working.
Okay. My mom thinks that it was my brother who totaled her car.
But it was really you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good one.
I'm Ben Ham.
And I'm Dahlia Beta.
We're your hosts as we navigate the deep waters of humanity.
And listen to the stories no one ever tells.
You are entering the secret room.
Katie is our guest in the secret room today. She's a professional makeup artist in LA, and she works on movies and TV shows. It's a trade she studied for.
I'm still waiting for my page to open.
OMG.
She's worked on blockbusters with A-list celebrities, and she enjoys her job. Most of the time, it's when the celebrities want to add to her job description that her work can become a little demeaning.
She says that not all the stars have huge egos, but some of them do, and they treat the crew like crap.
Katie's gonna tell us a big secret from the set, one even the stars don't know until now.
But first, Katie starts us off by explaining how a makeup artist can also be expected to be a barista.
Well, it's pretty normal that we have early call times, like at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. call times where we have to be there at that time. But certain celebrities will want like a French press coffee when they step into the trailer. We have to be there around 3 a.m., but then they want their coffee ready and going at 6 a.m., and it's hard to keep hot and fresh in case that they came in at 5 a.m. and not at 6 a.m. And if not, you're in a lot of trouble if you don't have that French press ready and hot.
You are a makeup artist.
I am a makeup artist, but I am not a barista. The other thing, though, when we do have to be there at 3 a.m., there's other celebrities that have demanded our nail polish manicured to be a certain color, a certain way.
Wow. And that is because?
They feel that any other color that they don't like is distracting.
So the celebrity can say, that person's off the set. Get me somebody new.
Yes, for sure.
We've all heard the stories about certain high-level celebrities putting a rider in their contract that says that crew are not allowed to look at them. Is there any truth to that?
That is 100% true. It's usually with normal celebrities or nicer ones, there's still always a rider that says to not bother the celebrity. And by bother, it means ask to take pictures or autographs or whatever while they're working, because they're there to do their job and it's not an appearance. However, I have been on sets where the writer is to not only do any of those things, but to not look in that direction of the celebrity. And I have been witness to people, extras, crew, that have looked at that certain celebrity and been asked to leave and been fired.
That seems amazing to me. Before you go on a set, it's not uncommon to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, you have to. There's different security companies that can come out if you're tweeting or Facebooking, like that they're able to find you immediately and escort you off the set. Some want the publicity and some want all of that, so you'll still sign it, but then they'll tell you, okay, it's okay if you tweet about this certain things, or because they want to get that fire going.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, you can't even check in where you are.
Have you ever seen people get away with tweeting about what's happening on a set?
No, I don't think I have. No.
Okay. So they've got that locked down pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you also hear stories about celebrities gone crazy where they want to have a room decorated a certain way or have different furniture or food or fruit out?
I have seen celebrities ask for a certain expensive linen spray to be sprayed before they enter any room. So from the bathroom to catering to their bedroom to the set. A linen spray beforehand to be sprayed minutes before so it's fresh.
No kidding.
One of their personal assistants will, they know their schedule and they know where they're supposed to be at all times.
I see.
So then that person runs ahead of them and sprays the linen spray. So I can't even imagine
what brand
would be like. I don't even know what the brand was. It did smell really delicious. Mm-hmm. So I get that.
And how about in their entourage? Do they show any patterns in the way they collect the people that hang around them?
Male actors will choose an entourage of just a bunch of beautiful women to hang around them. And I think that, or from what I've seen, it's usually because they are hiding the fact that they're gay. And that to keep up appearances that there's all these beautiful women hanging around them. So there's no way that they could be gay if that was the case. But really, they're just hired. They're leading men or huge sex symbols. And they don't want to just be cast in a gay-only role, and that's what they feel would happen if they were to come out.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be these sex symbols anymore to women. So it is. It's very sad
that
they can't be there.
Do you see celebrity spouses visiting on the set very often?
Rarely. Very, very rarely. Because of that whole non-disclosure agreement that all of us sign, it also entails most of their private lives. We will see many girlfriends and paid people coming to visit that are not their wives.
So it's kind of a safe zone on set.
Definitely. I think that that'd be the only place that they felt safe to be able to carry on with their mistresses in their trailers and behind those set walls.
Is this more common for male celebrities?
It is, but female celebrities I've seen have affairs as well, but I've noticed that they're more with crew or actors. It just happens while a show is going on, not premeditated.
Do celebrities ever find ways of pitting the crew against each other?
Great question, because yes, I have been in a situation where we were on a location in a desolate area, very cold and very windy, and this one particular actress, we were trained to, if you were doing her hair, makeup, or wardrobe that day, or watching her on set, that she would caw.
Caw.
Yeah, like caw, caw, about three times. The bird noise, yes, and all three of you would have to run to her, and she wouldn't tell you what she wanted until all three were standing in front of her. So even if, say, I have makeup, ran to her first, she would wait till hair and wardrobe were both there as well, and then she would say, my bra strap is falling, so wardrobe, fix it, and then you would walk away. Or if it was for makeup, I want my chapstick. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Or whatever it may be that she needs at that point, but she wouldn't tell you till all three were there. And in turn, whoever the last one was to get there would then get in trouble by production because it was be holding production up because it couldn't shoot until her need was met.
Wow.
Yeah, she was wretched. She was horrible.
So she would caw three times.
Yeah.
Would she ever test you by cawing twice?
It was so loud. She could have cawed six times. And it all sounded like the same.
Right.
Screeching like nails on a chalkboard.
But what I mean is, if the training was to come when she cawed three times,
yeah.
If she cawed only twice, maybe you weren't supposed to be there.
Exactly. She never played that game with us, I'm surprised. Or maybe she did.
Well, maybe if she's listening, she'll try that next time.
She should try that out. Torture some other hair, makeup, and wardrobe. Kind of turned into a joke game for her, but for the rest of the crew, it really felt like nails on a chalkboard every time you heard it for those 3 months.
I would think that would be very demeaning. I mean, that must have happened several times a day for three months.
Several times a day.
She never felt embarrassed about her behavior.
She thought it was funny. Yeah, she thought it was funny. She thought it was cute.
It's almost unbelievable.
But in her own mind, I know her background and past, she had worked with people like herself as well. So I think she had seen it work for other people. So she decided to try it out when she had a higher title in her own.
Did you see people rolling their eyes when she would caw?
Oh, for sure. There was eyes rolling, a lot of flipping the bird behind her back. There's a lot of those kind of things, but it was funny. You know, you end up just being a job and you're all in it together. You all hate her together. So that makes it a little bit easier.
If you're being told not to wear certain nail colors and to be a barista, and you're being summoned by a series of three cacaws, this has got to eat at you. And I imagine you want to take revenge at some point in some way.
That's the only way that you can keep going, I think, is with a little bit of sick, twisted revenge.
Next up in the secret room, Katie tells her big secret. Back in a sec.
Hey, Dahlia.
Hey, Ben. What you up to?
I don't know. Just potting.
Yeah, me too.
Next week's going to be our first thematic show, right?
Yep. It's going to be all about music, kinda.
We have two interviews next week. The first is a secret from a man who sold pot to a rock band, right?
Yes, and regular listeners might already know what band. It's so great.
After the concert, we go back to their hotel, give them their pot, and party with them.
But there's another part to the secret.
Oh my God, I know. And the other part of the secret is who the dealer is.
I can hardly wait to tell.
All shall be revealed next week.
Also next week, we're going to talk to Breakmaster Cylinder, the music composer who wrote and performed the theme from The Secret Room, and much of our other music.
Breakmaster Cylinder likes to keep a low profile.
He's only been seen with a motorcycle helmet on. No one knows what he looks like, or much else about him. But he has a very distinctive sound. In fact, this music we're talking over is by BMC, as we like to call him.
It's going to be a very unique interview. And you'll also learn some secrets about our theme song.
Interesting.
Oh, snap.
I did not know that.
What are you cooking?
That's just a tease. Come back next week for our fabulous, musically inspired edition of the Secret Room Podcast.
We've got Katie in the Secret Room today, a motion picture makeup artist. She's worked on blockbusters and hit TV series, but she's paid a price.
They pretty much just act like trolls.
Now, hold on as Katie reveals her secret.
So my big secret is this happens a little more often than not that we will take revenge on these nasty bitches or queens of actors and actresses. And myself and some other hair and makeup people have done a few things to them that we've been able to watch in enjoyment. One being I spit in that French press coffee towards the end of the show, a big, big, big yucky spit. And then mixed it around, and then myself and the other person that watched enjoyed watching that actress enjoy her coffee. It was so gross, but so funny and so satisfying all at the same time.
And I imagine to do something like that, you really must have been pushed to quite an extreme.
It was. It was towards the end, and, you know, many of us have gone through, been doing this for many years, and we work 16 to 18 hours a day to make a movie or TV show be successful, and it's something that we've studied, and it's our own art that we feel that we don't need to be treated that way. And so instead of losing our job and standing up for ourselves in that kind of way, we'll take revenge in other ways. And somehow it's somehow a little bit more enjoyable.
Any other types of revenge that might take place specifically in the makeup room?
Yes, I have been a part of watching a very expensive face cream that was requested and demanded by an actress towards the end of a show be the hair person did not like that actress either. And the hair person was a male, so he put his junk and mixed it up in that okay. face cream and then mixed his penis in the face cream. Well, then we didn't have anything in there, so we, of course, had to collect some, like, skin shavings, some rusty pieces of, like, dandruff. We just added a horrible, disgusting concoction and put it into that skin cream also, and then gave it to the actor. She took it home for herself. It was at the end of the movie, because we weren't going to dip our hands into it. Something we had done. Yeah, that's you.
Certainly not. So you were, you know, being very tactical about it in your approach.
We wanted her to use it eventually.
You didn't want to put anything dark in white cream because then it would be obvious it was tainted.
Exactly.
Yeah, very smart.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, a revenge tactic in the makeup room. How about in the general set area?
Oh, the good old Visine trick that is used all the way around.
That's a popular one, it sounds like.
So childish, but it's really great. You put Visine in their drink, and a few hours later, they will be running to the bathroom with cramps and explosive diarrhea. So we do that.
Have you ever sensed that the actor was suspicious that somebody had tainted his or her drink?
No, because never would anybody do something to somebody like that. Never.
Going forward, now that you've exposed this tactic, maybe a future celebrity might have an idea of what's going on.
Maybe, but they're a little too egotistical to even think that anybody would do it to them. Never. They're too kind or too pretty or too talented for somebody to want to do that to them.
Obviously, we're not naming names with the bad actors.
No.
We're not going to stoop to their
level. No, exactly.
But it would be nice to give a shout out to some of the good ones. So who's great?
Hmm. There's plenty of them. Sarah Jessica Parker is amazing. I had seen her on a movie once, and she would come out in the morning without her hair and makeup, which is very rare for a female actress to do, and she looks beautiful without it as well. But she would come out in the morning without her hair and makeup and thank the hundreds of extras that were about to start their day in the heat and the sun. And she would thank them in the large group and tell them that the movie wouldn't be what it was without them. And I thought that that was extremely kind, and that she even recognizes them and that they're allowed to look at her and look at her without hair and makeup. And she's able to thank them.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So she's setting a good example. And
yeah.
Who else?
Robert Downey Jr. is another one who, like I said, an A-lister that has been through plenty in his career and his life. And he was so kind and genuine to everybody that he met or came across. And just a wonderful human being.
Anybody else come to mind?
Bryan Cranston, another wonderful individual that is appreciative for where he is and to the fans that that support and love him. He's great.
Bryan Cranston, the star of Breaking Bad. So he's quite opposite the character he portrayed in the show.
He's quite opposite of that Walter White. Yeah.
So what's next for you? You have another show coming up? Another production?
I do. I have a few weeks off, and then I'll be on to another TV series.
And do you know who you'll be working with?
I have worked with all these people before, and they are all wonderful.
So you don't need to pack up any Visine.
I hope not. We might have a couple new ones, so we'll see what happens with those ones, but I really hope not. My nails are normal, and yeah, I'll be prepared.
Wow. That's quite the secret, Ben.
Yeah, it's really quite a story. I can't believe some of the things that she and her colleagues did.
Ben, you've been in radio for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had your fair share of interactions with celebrities.
I have.
So did you ever take any revenge?
I kind of sensed that question was coming on there, Dahlia. I haven't taken revenge on anybody, but I have been subject to some ill-mannered celebrities, yes.
Okay. Well, I want to hear about the best celebrity that you worked with, and maybe one that you had a hard time with.
This is about a very famous radio host, nationally syndicated host, host of one of the most popular radio programs on the air. And he was coming to my radio station to do some promotion, and it was my job to pick him up at the airport. I had a sign for him with his name on it, and he saw me when he came off the exit, and he just walked right by me. And do you know what he said?
What?
He growled and said, "Where's the nearest designated area?" And he kept walking because he wanted to smoke.
Okay.
And the whole weekend was a nightmare. That's my story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's a good experience you had? Let's end on a high note.
Okay, well, this is a positive story about a celebrity, so I'm going to reveal who it is, Dahlia.
I'm ready.
It's Gloria Estefan, Grammy Award-winning singer, lead singer for Miami Sound Machine. She's terrific. She came by the radio station I was working at for an interview promoting a new record. After the interview, we asked her if she could step into the studio and record some liners like, "Hey, this is Gloria Estefan. When I'm in town, I listen to blah, 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 and whatnot." And she just couldn't have been more pleasant about it. And there was just all of the stuff that we wanted her to read. And her publicist was busy, like, knocking on the door, saying, you know, "We got to go to this thing." And she's like, "No, I really want to do this. They've been so nice, and I just want to stay and get all this stuff done for them." She was just a real class act.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming to the Secret Room today, Ben.
This was my turn in the Secret Room.
I'm ready.
Okay, let me call up the script.
Why don't you just leave them open?
Because it's annoying. There's like 50,000...
I only have...
windows.
7 windows open, 6 of which are scripts.
Okay, to me, that is like 1,000. I'm Ben Hamm.
And I'm Dahlia Beta.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secrets you've just heard are true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Thank you to Breakmaster Cylinder, who composed our theme and many musics. Many musics? Thanks to Breakmaster Cylinder, who composed our theme and much music in our show, without which we would certainly be adrift in the podverse.
Acast, thank you for hosting and promoting this episode, and to the guys and dolls on our Street Secret team.
And credits to the contributors. May you sleep safely and soundly tonight, knowing the truth has been revealed.
And if you like The Secret Room, you must go to iTunes now, post a review, and help this show get in front of more people.
And subscribe!
If you want to share a secret with us, you can always visit thesecretroompodcast.com or call our anonymous hotline, at 929-265-TSRP.
Or tweet us at TSR Podcast and we'll be in touch. I'm on Twitter at Dahlia Beta.
And I'm at HamPod. That's with two M's. Can't wait for another secret? Tune in next week at the same time when we'll be back with another visit to the secret room. This is Ben and Dahlia signing off.
Pod on.